We're going to look at just one verse this morning, a very familiar verse in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Christmas can be a fun time of year for many. I know you might have very fond memories of Christmas past, things that did with family or friends or things of that sort. When I was in seminary, the two Christmases we celebrated while we were in seminary, we didn't get to come home at Christmas. So many things going on at church. There was a Christmas Eve service and things of that sort. So we usually came home right after the first of the year because I still had time before I started back up with classes at seminary. So we usually celebrated Christmas together, and we lived in this apartment that had a loft in it, and we always kept our Christmas tree up in the loft. And up in that loft, it also served as a second bedroom. There was a single bed there that was kind of pushed against the wall that was seldom used, but it was there when we needed it. And I have been prone occasionally to a practical joke, occasionally. And one Christmas, I decided while we were there to play a joke on Janice. You see, just a few weeks before Christmas, the mats in her car got messed up. Somebody stepped in something and got something on the mat, and had to throw it away with no way of cleaning it. So I bought her a brand new set of mats for Christmas. They were nice now. I mean, they had an adhesive back to them, you know. They were really, really quality mats. So I took those mats and I took them out of the packaging and I wrapped the front mats in one box and the rear mats in another box. And I put those two presents under the Christmas tree, and that was all I put under the Christmas tree. So we're unwrapping presents, and I give her the front mats first, and she unwraps it and opens that box and sees those mats, and I'm just going on and on about how great these mats are. They're awesome. They have this adhesive back. They're not going to move around on you. They're great. They're awesome. And she's being a great sport. I mean, she's not showing any sign of disappointment. She's going along. Everything, you know. So I open a present, and then I give her the next box, and it's the back mats. She opens that up, and there comes out those back mats. Now, this time, I can see a little disappointment on her face at that, and I don't understand why. They're great mats. But underneath that bed that was nearby that Christmas tree, I reached under and pulled out the box for her real gift, and I gave her a real gift, and she opened it up, and it was a London Fog overcoat at that time. So that was a little nicer than the mats that she had gotten, and she was a little bit happier then. But I don't care what gift you've been given or what you've given to someone else, no gift is perfect and no gift will last forever and no gift is greater than the gift of Jesus Christ. When he gave himself for us, we received the greatest gift ever. We've been forgiven and given eternal life. So I want to take a look at one single verse, this one verse passage of prophecy in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, and I'll ask you to stand in honor of the reading of God's word. I have nothing on. Oh, there we go. Okay, thank you. Thank you. Here we go. Isaiah 9, verse 6. For a child will be born for us, a son will be given to us, and the government will be on his shoulders. He will be named Wonderful Counselor, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. May the Lord add richly to the reading of his word. Let's go to him in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your love. We thank you that your word is not simply a truth, but is the truth. God, help us today to hear your truth and apply it in our lives. May we be reminded of the greatest gift ever when your son came to earth so that we could know you, so that we could have forgiveness and eternal life, so that we could know that one day we'll be with you in heaven. We praise you for this. Lord, I pray right now that I might decrease, that you might increase. Lord, in my weakness, may you be made strong. It's in your powerful and precious name we pray these things. Amen. You may be seated. Now in this passage, we can see four sides of God's gift of himself. First of all, I want you to see that he is indeed Wonderful Counselor. Now, quite frankly, there are some through the years that have debated about whether or not these two should be separated, whether it should be Wonderful Counselor. And if you've ever sung Handel's Messiah, you know, of course, the great authority on Scripture, Handel, sings it that way, right? Wonderful music, Counselor, the mighty God, and all the rest of them are together. If you have a CSB, a Christian Standard Version of the Bible, Probably the ESV, NIV, New American Standard, you will most likely find that there is no comma between wonderful counselor. However, in the King James Version of the Bible, you will find a comma after wonderful. The evidence in the original language weighs heavily toward the fact that there shouldn't be a comma. As a matter of fact, in this text, in the original language, we have introduced here four straight couplets. In other words, two words that go together that follow this. So I'm going to approach this from the standpoint that the intent of the original author, ultimately God, was that it was wonderful counselor. Now, it wouldn't be wrong to say Jesus is wonderful. Obviously, he's wonderful. But within the context of this text, I believe it is wonderful counselor, and more accurately, the wonderful counselor. He is always willing to listen. His solutions are always perfect. When we stop and spend time with him, he listens. He allows us to speak our mind. He will not fuss at us for complaining or griping. He will not fall asleep on us. He will never look at his watch. He'll never tell us our time is up. The next patient's got to come in. He is always ready to listen. He wants to spend time with him. We don't have to make an appointment, though sometimes we treat him like that. You know, sometimes we say, well, you know, I've got my quiet time in the morning, and that's when I talk to God. But Paul reminds us we're to pray without ceasing. So our time with God should be throughout the day. But we should have a specific time that we sit down with him and talk to him. And as you've heard me say so many times, not just talk, but listen. But his fees are better than anybody else's because he's free. He won't charge us a thing for his counsel. Now, the word wonderful carries with it the idea of supernatural or something to marvel over. Our counselor is a marvel like no other. I'm astounded when I stop and think about how many times I've discarded his advice, his counsel, and chosen my own way. And yet he still is there, and he still loves me, and he still gives solid counsel. I don't know about you, but if you've ever given someone else counsel and they continue to do their own thing, I get to the point where I'm like, why bother? You're not going to listen anyway. But God never treats us that way. God never gives up on us. He's always there. In 1929, Georgia Tech played the University of California in the Rose Bowl. In the game, a player for the University of California recovered a fumble and proceeded to run the wrong way. Just before getting to the wrong end zone, he was tackled by one of his own teammates, scoring a touchdown for Tech. At halftime, all of the players went to the locker room. This particular young man went over and sat by himself and put a towel over his head and was crying throughout halftime. When the team was ready to go back onto the field of the second half, the coach stunned the entire team when he announced that the same players who had started the first half would start the second half. All of the players left the locker room except for this one young man. He wouldn't budge. The coach looked back and he called him again and saw that his cheeks were wet with tears. The player said, "Coach, I can't do it. I've ruined you. I've disgraced the University of California. I can't face that crowd in the stadium again." Then the coach put his hand on the player's shoulder and said, "Get up and go back in. The game's only half over." Billy Graham said of this story, "When I think of that story deep inside, I say, what a coach. When I read the story of Jonah in the Bible and the stories of thousands like him, I say, to think that God would give me another chance. We have a wonderful counselor who does not give up on us. He listens to us time and time again and lovingly accepts us in spite of our mistakes and even picks us up when we fall. He never gets tired of seeing us and always wants us to just come and sit with him and talk with him. It doesn't matter if we're covered with the sickness of sin. He still wants to be with us. He wants us to confess our sin, to be in his presence, but he wants us to get the help we need. I remember when Haley was a baby, I vividly remember where I was. Janice worked evening shift at that time, and I was at my parents' house, and I had Haley in her little car seat thing that, you know, you could pull out and carry around or whatever, and she was sitting on the table, and I went to pick her up, and as I went to pick her up, she got sick. Now, I'm sorry, but my first reaction from being a normal human being when I picked her up and was pulling her toward me and she started getting sick was to go. But then I looked at her face and saw the fear in her eyes. And I did the only thing I could do. I pulled her close and let her finish being sick. You see, our Heavenly Father loves us more than that. We get sick all over Him with our junk, and yet He holds us closely. He loves on us. He wants us in His presence. He's not going to keep us at arm's length. He picks us up and wraps His arms around us. He just wants to love the hurt away. He is the wonderful counselor. Stop taking your problems to self-help books. You ain't got it within you. This refrain that we hear over and over in our culture, follow your heart. Read the Bible, people. The heart is wicked. Don't follow your heart. Follow God. That's the one to follow. And we have the wonderful counselor in our lives as Christians. We should turn to Him if we aren't willing to come to Him and listen to Him. He's not going to force Himself on us. He's a gentleman in that regard. But when He'll try to get our attention. He will try to get our attention. But when we have sense enough to listen, He will speak. He will help us hear from Him. He wants to be the wonderful counselor in our lives. So we see that He is the wonderful counselor. The second side of God's gift of Himself to us is that He is the mighty God. Now the term mighty is used in reference to Jehovah and His might and power or His strength. God is omnipotent. He is all-powerful. The strongest thing that you can even begin to think of is nothing compared to God. I don't care what it is. Nothing is stronger than God. I've seen videos of tornadoes that would powerfully tear through an area and wipe out everything in its path. You've seen videos and seen all the debris, huge vehicles and things being turned about, houses being turned about in that, and literally roofs ending up miles down the road. Just unbelievable the destruction that can happen with a tornado. And yet God can go and the tornado's done. God is more powerful than anything. The most powerful of things, God is more powerful than that. I can remember as a young kid getting the opportunity to go to Yosemite National Park and getting to see the redwoods, massive trees, blown away by the fact you could drive through one. And yet God is more powerful than anything like that. We have a God who can take care of us. What foes do you really have to fear when you have the mighty God on your side? The Apostle Paul in Romans 8 reminds us that nothing we can face can overcome the God that we serve. He goes through this litany of things in Romans chapter 8, beginning about verse 30 or 31, and then he gets to verse 37 and he goes, yet in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer. So nothing you can face, no enemy you could face is more powerful than the God that you deserve, that you serve. We don't fight for victory. We fight from victory. We have victory in Christ. We're even told in Corinthians that there is no temptation that can overcome you if you turn to God. God has provided a way of escape. And you can't say, well, I couldn't resist. If you want to be honest, I didn't resist. But you could have if you'd turned to God as a Christian. Joseph immediately comes to mind when I think about someone who was able to avoid great temptation in his life. Stop and consider just a moment as his brothers come before him. Knowing what they did to him, putting him in the pit for 1 minute and then selling him into slavery in the next minute, thinking that'll be a better way than going back and telling his father that he died. Joseph standing there knowing what they had done to him, selling him into slavery, having now authority in command in Egypt. His brothers are standing before him. They don't know who he is. Instead of choosing vengeance, he chose forgiveness. And I love, love, love the statement when he says, what you meant for evil, God meant for good. You see, he understood God's will in his life. But not only that, before that ever happened, Joseph had that resolve within him. Joseph had determined that he was going to honor God. Here he was in Potiphar's house. Potiphar's wife thought he was a hunk. Potiphar's gone, so she wants to have her way with Joseph. But Joseph's heart was for God and to honor God. And in Genesis chapter 39, verses 8 and 9, Joseph responded this way. But he refused and said to his wife, "Behold, with me here, my master does not concern himself with anything in the house, and he has put all that he owns in my charge. There is no one greater in this house than I, and he has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do this great evil and sin against God?" Joseph's heart was determined to follow God. He was not going to give in to the temptation of sin. It would have been easy for him to give in to temptation, but you see, when temptation came along, Joseph turned to God. God can give you the strength to overcome whatever you might naturally choose in your own desires if you'll turn to him. He's more powerful than anything you'll face. When somebody wrongs you and you want to retaliate, God can give you the strength to resist. When your best friend is unkind to you and doesn't deserve your love, God can give you the strength to love them anyway. When your child has taken you to your wit's end, God can give you the strength to keep on loving them in spite of their actions. Serving a mighty God is not a guarantee that we'll never fail. Serving a mighty God is not a guarantee that we'll never fail, but it is a guarantee that he will never fail. Energizer batteries claims to keep going and going and going, but they're going to let you down. Usually when you have a new toy for your child at Christmas and they don't work. But anyway, but God is always mighty, and with him there'll never be a lapse of energy. There'll never be a crisis. Trust him to provide you with the strength you need to face the daily routine of life. Trust him to provide you with the strength that you need to face those things that seem insurmountable in your life. God will provide all that you need, and as a matter of fact, he is all that you need. Trust him for your strength. Folks, let me say, I was listening to a podcast this week, and among our young people, and I don't remember for sure the age range they gave, it was teen up into the early 20s. I want to say it might have been 13 to 24, somewhere in that neighborhood. But in a recent survey years ago, and I don't remember how many years ago, it might have been 10, 15, 20, I don't know for sure, but it wasn't all that long ago. When surveying teens in that, or young people in that age group, 12.5% of those kids had seriously considered suicide. A more recent survey done within the last few months, over 25% in that category have seriously considered suicide. What do you mean by seriously considering suicide? They had a plan. That's what I mean by seriously. They weren't just talking about it. They had a plan. It is so important that we help our young people understand that God can help you overcome whatever you're facing. There is no situation that you face that God can't see you through. And we don't need to dismiss it, folks. We don't need to just kick it down the road. We need to realize people are suffering. And after this stuff we've come through in the last couple of years, more and more people are in depression than ever. And they need to know the truth of God's Word, and God's Word can heal. And when we are reminded that he is the wonderful counselor, he will strengthen us, and that he is the mighty God, he can help us overcome whatever we face, we can be encouraged, and we can be strengthened to go on, and we can encourage others. So remember that he is the wonderful counselor and the mighty God. But thirdly, I want you to see in this text that he is the eternal or everlasting Father. Sadly, for some of you, when you think about a father, that's not a good memory. Sadly, for some of you, you had a difficult relationship with your father, or you had a father who wasn't there, or he might have been there physically, but he wasn't there emotionally. I want to tell you this morning, I want to make clear to you, our eternal Father, our heavenly Father, is not a deadbeat dad. He's there all the time, and his love for you is perfect. There will never be a time when he won't be there for you. Your eternal Father loves you more than you could possibly imagine, and he wants the very best for you. We have a loving Heavenly Father that wants to bless us beyond our wildest dreams. Now, I'm not saying that he wants you to have all the wealth of this world. That's not biblical. But I am telling you that he wants the very best for you. Sometimes the blessing of sunshine is a blessing from him. Sometimes the blessing of rain is a blessing from him. Sometimes encouraging words from a friend or a loved one are a blessing from God. Sometimes the correction of a parent or a friend is a blessing from God. But the greatest aspect of our eternal Father is that he is unchanging. He is consistent. For any of you who have ever studied Greek mythology, you know the gods of the Greeks were temperamental. That is not a picture of the Heavenly Father. That is not a picture of our eternal Father who is unchanging. He is not temperamental. What pleases God today pleased God 100 years ago and will please him 100 years, 1,000 years from now. We can rejoice in the fact that we have an unchanging God, an eternal God. He is a constant in our life. When so many things can be chaotic around us, we can trust that God is a constant. God is not moody, and his timing is impeccable, and God will never be anything other than perfect and consistent. Being a Braves fan, the 2022 World Series did not have near as much interest to me as the 2021 World Series. As a matter of fact, if it was possible for the Phillies and the Astros to both lose, I would have been happy with that. But that was not possible. But the one thing for me that made it a little better for me that the Astros won is the fact that Dusty Baker is a former Atlanta Brave. He played for the Atlanta Braves from 1968 to 1975. And as a matter of fact, when Henry Aaron hit his record-breaking home run at Fulton County Stadium, Dusty Baker was on deck. So he has a history with the Atlanta Braves. So I was glad for him that he finally got that World Series ring. But another story of interest to me in that was starting pitcher for the Houston Astros, Justin Verlander. Justin Verlander, since 2005, has been one of the best pitchers in the major leagues. Now, he's dealt with some injuries at times, but he's been a great pitcher in the major leagues. However, his performance in the World Series has not been so good. This year, as a 39-year-old during the regular season, Justin Verlander had a 1.75 earned run average. If you don't know what that is, that's really, really good. That led to him ultimately winning the Cy Young for the American League this year, which means he was the best pitcher according to the vote. But in the World Series, he started 9 times in the World Series, and he has a 1-6 record in the World Series, meaning he's won 1 game in those 9 starts and lost 6. He's pitched only 48 innings in 9 starts. He's given up 30 runs in those 48 innings, posting a 5.63 earned run average. If you don't know, that ain't good. How in the world can one of the best pitchers in Major League history have such a bad record in the World Series? Newsflash, he's human. He's not perfect. And sometimes he's going to let you down. The God we serve, our eternal Father, will never let you down. He's perfect. His earned run average is 0 because he's never given up anything. He's perfect. We can count on him to be there for us. He never had to apologize to someone for saying something that he didn't mean to say. He's never committed an error. He's never said anything unkind because he wasn't feeling 100%. He never painted a sky and then went, "Oh, I don't like that. I'm going to go back and fix it." He never created an animal and went, "Oops." The duck-billed platypus might have been close. I don't know. I'm just kidding. It's a joke. But he has always been perfect, and he always will be perfect. Where else can you get a guarantee like that? No one else is perfect, and God will never let you down. Now, let me say this word of caution. You may not like what God allows you to go through. But again, you have to come back to his promise that he'll work it all together for your good. No matter what your earthly father may have been like or may be like, you need to know that your eternal heavenly Father will never let you down. God is on your side, and He loves you more than you'll ever be able to understand. He is always working for your good, so you can count on Him. Lean on your unchanging, eternal Father, and He will not disappoint. So remember that He is the wonderful Counselor, a mighty God, and the eternal or everlasting Father. But fourth, I want you to see the fourth side of God is that He is the Prince of Peace. Now today we hear lots of need for peace, don't we? With all we see going on in the world around us, things happening in Ukraine, things happening in the Middle East, and this and that, and all sorts of things that are around us, there's never been a time where we needed peace more than we need it right now. However, I realize that we will not ever actually see peace on earth until after the tribulation. You see, man's not going to ultimately seek peace. There's always going to be somewhere where somebody around the world wants to overtake somebody else because of the ego and because of the sin of man. But one day there will be peace on earth, and the Prince of Peace will usher it in. However, for now, the only place that we can have true peace is in our hearts. The Prince of Peace will come and dwell in our lives and bring us peace. He will take away that inner turmoil that keeps leaving you empty and hurting and fill that void with His power and His presence. You can begin to know the nature of true peace in your life if you'll give your life completely to Him. He can even bring peace when it doesn't make sense. You say, well, preacher, how can you support that from the Word of God? Because I've read the Word of God, and the Word of God says He'll bring peace that surpasses understanding. That means other people are going to go, what? That makes no sense. He brings peace when it doesn't make sense that we'd have peace. But we must look to Him. We must lean on Him and realize that He wants us to know His peace. You see, the peace He brings is not a cheap imitation of peace. It's the real thing. It's not like when men sign a peace accord only to break it later. The peace that God brings is perfect peace. Back when I was in school, there were, and this has been true, I'm sure, throughout most of time, there were certain things that the in crowd or the cool people wore, you know? Now, when I was in school, the cool kids had the alligators or the polo people on their shirt. If they were cool, they had the Levi's button fly jeans. But the really cool kids had the members only jackets. If you don't remember members only, it had a little band around the top. Kind of hung off. It had little bands on the shoulders there. And it had members only on the pocket. I wanted a members only jacket. What I got was not a members only jacket. It looked like it. Didn't have nothing on the pocket, just a pocket. Probably kept me just as warm. But you know what? It was an imitation of the real thing. And I didn't suffer for it, folks. People will often settle for an imitation of the real thing. Now, in some areas, that's okay. If you get a generic drug that does the same job as the name brand, that's all right. But when it comes to the peace of God, there is no generic that works. Only peace from God provides true peace. There is no substitute for the Prince of Peace. People try to soothe that inner turmoil with all sorts of things. Alcohol, drugs, power, pornography, and the list goes on and on and on. However, the only thing that can bring you inner peace is a personal relationship with the Prince of Peace. Don't settle for any imitations because nothing else will do. You can try all sorts of things and look all sorts of places, but Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace, and He wants you to know peace in your life. In this Christmas season, you can have joy that will last throughout the whole year if you'll look to Christ. He is the wonderful Counselor. He is the mighty God. He is the eternal, everlasting Father, and He is the Prince of Peace. It is only through a relationship with Jesus Christ that we can have this forgiveness, that we can have eternal life. Don't turn anywhere else. Don't settle for anything less than what God offers you in Christ. Christian, if you realize today that you've allowed other things to consume you and you haven't let Christ minister to you as He wants to, the good news is Just like Billy Graham said, I'm amazed at a God who gives another chance. Our God's not just a God of second chances. He's a God of multiple chances. He loves us that much. So if you realize you haven't been keeping Him central in your life and focusing on Him, trust Him with control of your life. I got news for you. You can't control your life anyway. But He can. He can. And He wants to. If you've never placed your faith in Christ as Savior, I pray that today you do that. Don't waste another moment. Don't look to other things. Nothing will ever satisfy. There's a hole in your life right now, if you're honest. And I can tell you, you may have tried to stuff other things in there, but the only thing that will ever fill it is Christ. And let me say to you, if you'll place your faith in Christ, this Christmas will be your first real Christmas, because there is no Christmas without Christ. All you have is a mess without Him. But you can know Him today. Admit you're a sinner. Place your faith in Him. Repent of your sin. Trust in Him, and He will forgive you and give you eternal life. I don't know what burden or concern you may have today, but I know God does. And I know He's big enough to handle it, whatever it is. Would you give it to Him? Would you trust to Him right now? Whatever your need is during this invitation, give this time to God right now. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank You for Your love. We thank You for this reminder. Some 750 years before Christ came, of what we have in You and what You did for us in sending Your Son to walk among us. God, help us to live for You. Help us to live our lives like You're present in our lives. Lord, may we indeed be a light in the community You've placed us in. God, as we consider what it is You've done for us, Lord, help us to have a burden for the lost. I pray for us as believers, God, that our heart would be so in tune with You that we'd have some people in mind, even right now, that we're praying for, that we want to see come to know You. God, as we look forward to a new year just a few weeks away, may we be mindful of those that we know that are lost without You. And God, help us to begin to pray for them faithfully, that we might be the ones to share our faith with them, to see them come to faith in You. God, for anyone here today that doesn't know You, for anyone watching online or listening in, God, I pray that right now they'd ask Your forgiveness, right now they'd trust in You, right now they'd experience in You the peace that only You can bring. Lord, for any burdens or concerns, I pray right now we trust those to You. Let You have Your way in our lives and realize that we weren't meant to carry it in the first place, but You will. God, we give this invitation time to You and ask You to have Your way in this place. It's in Your precious name we pray these things. Amen.